Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me again is Zach Goodchild. He's a seminarian for the Diocese of Columbus. Welcome again, Zach.
Hey, Father Adam.
Great to continue our conversation. You know, in our last conversation, you told us your story of your faith. One of the kind of interesting things about you, of course, you grew up in Seton Parish in Pickerington, but that you were a golfer and you went to Ohio Northern to play golf. And towards the end of the last bit of our conversation, we were talking about some of the spiritual lessons from golf. I think it's a very beautiful idea that if you have a bad shot or you have to a good shot, you have to kind of shake it off, whatever it is, and live in the present and move forward, which, you know, I think so often, especially, I mean, as the scriptures tell us that even the just man sins seven times a day, you know, there's a lot of bad shots in this life that we have to kind of shake off. And of course, obviously the sacrament of confession has been instituted by Christ for that purpose, really, to help us shake off those bad shots to move forward. But I'm wondering, you know, what other kind of spiritual lessons you've taken from your love for golf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one thing that I mentioned before was I saw a sports psychologist, and one thing, he gave me a really good tool. He told me that when you're out there on the golf course, there's a lot of things that happen. And it's kind of crazy things sometimes, like just, you know, bad shots or there's wind or it's raining. And he told me that there were two analogies he gave me. One analogy was acting like I was in the eye of a hurricane, whereas if a hurricane is crazy, storm, wind, rain, things flying around, but in the center of the hurricane, it's calm. If you ever hear stories of airline pilots who end up in that eye of a hurricane and they're just struck by the beauty and just kind of the calm that's in the center of everything. So that's one analogy. And it kind of, what I got from that was I learned to kind of, when there's stuff that goes on that's not always good in my life, or if there's something that I do, how do I let it affect me? Do I keep walking with the Lord, or do I grab on to other things that are just kind of noise in the world? The other analogy, which has a bit more spiritual connection to it, was an anchor, the analogy of an anchor. So when I was trying to get better at golf, I had a lot of negative thoughts coming to my head of like, if I hit a bad shot, it's like, what's wrong with my swing? What did I do wrong? And it's like, maybe I didn't do anything wrong. I don't know. And it was a lot of unknowns. And so my sports psychologist told me to get an anchor of something like soft hands, because I noticed I would tense up when I got nervous or when I started to play bad. And so that was an anchor that if I noticed myself tensing up, I would say soft hands. It would kind of remind me to come back to my center. As I went through college and as I got better, actually, I got a lot better in college and I didn't really expect it. A lot of it was from working on my mental game and I think also getting better at my prayer life. My anchor turned from a golf thing. It actually turned into the Jesus prayer. And so I found myself my senior year praying while I was playing. It was like I would use Jesus as my center, as my calm in the center of a hurricane. He was my anchor. And he started to help me when I needed him in what I wanted to do at that time in my life, which was to be a better golfer and to be calm so I could play the best I could at that time in my life.
If you're tuning in, this is Conversations on Discipleship, and I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is Zach Goodchild. He's a seminarian for the diocese. And you know, from your struggles with golf, there came this real deeper self-awareness for a need for healing, you know, from past wounds, which I think is, you know, is so much a part of the journey of discipleship. And I think we hear that so often. And I think we're becoming more aware of it in the life of the church, that as one comes to know Christ, they also come to deal with their wounds, and he brings that sort of healing. And I think, you know, from your experiences with your the Kairos retreat in college, what, you know, for maybe for our listeners who are discovering their own wounds, maybe from their past, that as they draw close to the Lord, the areas that they're in need of healing, what does it look like, I guess, to find healing in these areas?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's something that's not easy, and it's not something that you can force upon another person. For me, I think it was giving the Lord the time and the space to do that. And when I had that time and space to heal, he gave moments where I felt it was almost like I didn't see it at the time, but it was the Holy Spirit like telling me to like, hey, this is going to be an issue in your life forever unless you address it. And I don't know exactly what that feels like or what that space is for every person, but I can say that what comes from leaning into the uncomfortable, which a lot of times addressing our past wounds is uncomfortable, but having other people to talk to about that, I have found those people at the church, in faith formation events, on retreats, good people who are following the Lord, or at least trying to with their lives, who are trustworthy. And I think as we learn to have people who we can trust in, then we trust the Lord. And as I trusted people with my issues, with the pains I had felt from broken relationships in the past or my own sins, as I trusted them with that, and I found people I could trust, then it was like, oh, I can trust the Lord with this and take this to prayer. Because sometimes I think we're like, oh, I can't take this to God because it's just too, like, I can't even face it myself. And when I faced it myself, it was uncomfortable. Then I could bring it to other people, and then I was led to the Lord that way.
Excellent. And, you know, prayer is really, I mean, it's a crucial part for where this healing takes place, as you mentioned. And I guess, what growth in prayer have you seen, you know, from your college days, maybe especially as you've gone into seminary?
So after I graduated college, I wasn't sure what I was doing. I mean, I knew what I was doing. I wanted to either be I was going to be a professional golfer still. I'd grown in my prayer life, but I was still asking the Lord to help me with the things that I wanted to do. But I didn't have the money to go be a professional golfer, so I got a job. I was an actuary at Nationwide Insurance. And I was in that job where I didn't have a sense of fulfillment. And I started asking the Lord, I'm like, okay, I've come, I've done what I've wanted to do. And I have succeeded in a lot of avenues. And maybe if I kept going and went and became a professional golfer, I would succeed there. Or maybe, I don't know. But I came to a point of like, okay, it's not, like, I keep doing what I want to do, but what do you want me to do, Lord? And so that was when I think my prayer life started to grow a bit, because I stopped. It was almost selfish to never really think and ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? Oh, my goodness, you're my Father, and you know what's better for me than what I know what's best for me. And I think that, and then that has led me on a faith journey that led me to be in a missionary with a program called Totus Tuus, and then to seminary where our prayer lives were given the space to continue to grow there.
Excellent. Maybe, you know, you were involved in Totus Tuus. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about what Totus Tuus is.
Yeah, Totus Tuus is a missionary program that catechizes youth ages first grade through 12th. The missionaries that run the program are four college-aged, approximately, missionaries, two guys and two girls. And they come to a parish. So if you had it at your parish, they'd come to your parish and they'd put on the program for a week. There's a day program and a night program, and we catechize on something from the catechism. So this year, they're teaching about the virtues and the Beatitudes. And then there's also a Marian devotion with the Totus Tuus program. And so this year we're teaching on the joyful mysteries.
What's, I mean, where did it come from, this program?
I believe the program started in Nebraska, and it spread to many different states, and it's just kind of creeping into Ohio here. It's in the Archdiocese of Cincinnati, and hopefully someday it comes to the Columbus Diocese.
And then, you know, so what year are you in seminary now?
I'll be going into my second year of pre-theology.
Okay, excellent. So you're still studying philosophy?
Yes.
Excellent. Let's, I think, you know, as we kind of wrap up this conversation, maybe you can answer this kind of briefly, but as you kind of continue in your discernment of your vocation, what kind of advice would you give to someone who might be thinking about the priesthood?
The biggest thing I learned in my first year was that I didn't need to figure it all out before I came to seminary, which is kind of what I felt like I did. And that the education and the formation of just being a human person, of how to interact with others and to grow in knowledge of yourself, not only of yourself, but others, is more valuable than, all the education I've received has been valuable, but it has been so valuable to study philosophy for a year at seminary. And it's just like, if you don't even know if you want to be a priest or not, come and just see what it's like. It's okay if you don't have it all figured out before you come.
Well, you've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today has been Zach Goodchild, a seminarian for the Diocese of Columbus. Until next time, peace and all good.